God bless, saints. Good evening. Welcome to the Bible study Wednesday evening. To everybody who's joining, welcome. Like we say, it's good to get together in the middle of the week. It's good to have fellowship. This world tries its best to take its toll. It's busy. It's got a lot of confusion. It's so wonderful to get into the Word, to find something that never changes, something that's really stable and something that's a real foundation that's steadfast. So it'll be it's a good thing for us to gather around something which is eternal. So may the Lord help us this evening. So I'm going to share my screen. We're going to continue on just from what we started a couple of weeks back, looking at the mystery of our lives. That's what you're looking at. And this week, we're looking at the words of the prophecy of your book. Now, so we continue on looking at redemption, but obviously the greatest part of redemption to us as individuals is his individual work inside of our lives, is individual redemption. That's what you wanted to look at. So the words of the prophecy of your book, our scripture is from Revelation. This is where we get it from, chapter 22, verse 18. Sorry, I'll just get technology cooperating. The scripture says, "For I testify unto every man that hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book." So it's speaking about the words of the book of this prophecy. So we want to have a look at that. Let's just pray before we go any further. Father, we pray for your grace. We pray for your mercy upon this evening, Lord, the activities of this day, Lord, the hustle and bustle. We just long to be shut in with thee, Lord, to forget about everything else, Lord, to concentrate on you. Oh, Lord, we just know that nothing good can happen unless you come. And Father, we just thirst for fellowship with you in our souls. And we know that your word is a way that you usher us into your presence. So help us, Lord, to just humble ourselves now, to yield ourselves, to bow down our knees, spiritually speaking, Lord, and just to come with the right approach. May you wash us in the waters of the word, wash us in your blood, and bless your people upon this night, Lord. We pray that you would help us and guide us in the way that you'd have us to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're looking at the words of the prophecy of your book. We've read this before. This is the very beginning of the church age book when Brother speaks about why he preached the seven church ages. And he says it's necessary. He says in the part that's highlighted, "For out of the ages comes the seals, and out of the seals comes the trumpets, and out of the trumpets comes the vials." So this entire program of redemption, there's many things that take place in redemption. There's the seals. It is firstly the church ages, then the seals come from there, then from there comes the trumpets and the vials. So that's looking at it at the high level. That's the big picture. But you want to have a look at how this applies to us as individuals as well. Because the way the Lord deals in redemption with his church through the ages is exactly the same way, obviously, he deals with us as individuals, because we make up the church. The church is made up of individuals. So the same method that he deals with us as a group of people, you're going to find he's going to use the same pattern as he deals with us as individuals. And that's what you're wanting to understand better this evening. So there's ages, there's seals, there's trumpets, there's vials, there's all of these things that make up the mystery of redemption. And that's what's unfolded in the revelation of Jesus Christ, in the book of Revelation. Now, the church ages is always a good place to start because it gives us, it's the real starting point. It gives us the framework. So church ages shows you your age that you're in, your message, your messenger, the conditions of the age, times and seasons and people and places and all these kind of things. And it's very important. It's so important to recognize your day and your message, to know where you are in time. And that's exactly the same as us as an individual. We've got to know, he's put us in this age for a purpose. He's equipped us in this age for a purpose. He's got a specific something that he wants to fulfill in each and every one of our lives. So we need to know our boundaries and our parameters as well. That's a very important thing. So the church ages are a very good start. That's why the book of Revelation starts with him, to give us this overall picture of his dealings with the church. But then from the church ages, he says, comes the seals. Now, you'll never understand the seals without the church ages. So I just put our seal there on the last church age. Yeah, so the seals now show us there's the law of cause and effect. All of these things that we see in the church ages, people and places and movements and revivals and all that, you know, the Antichrist and the Nicolaitan spirit, all these things, you know, we see the people and the places and the dates and the times in the church ages. But when you get into the seals, we see the real cause behind these things. We see the spirits, we see the anointings, we see the agenda. So if you look at our seal in the last days, we see the pale horse rider. Here we see the eagle, the flying eagles going forth, an anointing going. So we see the spirits and anointings behind the church ages. And that's an important thing to understand as well, that there's a spirit behind everything. You know, we can get too natural sometimes, but this is a very spiritual world and a very spiritual walk. But we wanted to get it onto you and the book. So we wanted to look at redemption on a personal level, how it unfolds itself down to our individual lives. We looked at it last week when the Lord breaks these seals in our lives, these times of visitation. And he comes, there's a mystery. There's something he wants to fulfill. There's a purpose that he has for your life. And the heavens are opened at certain times and revelation comes forth, visitation. And the Lord breaks these seals to us and reveals a mystery, you know, of his purpose for us at various junctions. And we need those visitations on a regular basis to get where we're supposed to be, because that's very easy to be sidetracked. But this is going to be the same now as we take a little bit further tonight, take him the seals and we'll take them into the vials a little bit. Just have a look at how these things link together. So we saw last week, Bahram says, here's the plan of it. The first thing happens, there's an announcement in the heavens first. So the Lord wants something done. We saw it with Joseph. You know, Pharaoh dreams a dream. He dreams of seven fat cows and seven thin cows and seven fat ears of corn and seven thin ears. And it troubles him. And the Lord is revealing the big picture of the age, what's going to take place. So the heavens are open, there's an announcement, a seal is opened, a mystery is unfolded. So God starts something working, an anointing goes forth, and now people start to find themselves under that mystery. That there's different people, different players, there's important people that are going to fulfill the purpose of God at that particular junction. And what is a mystery? A mystery is something that was hidden before, but now it's made known. You know, so that's how the Lord deals with us in our lives. It's a mystery. We don't really know the mystery of our lives until it starts unfolding itself, until we get to a certain junction. There's like the Lord opens something. He wants to move us along in our Christian walk, wants to move us to the next place that we're supposed to be spiritually or even naturally. And so it's like a seal breaks for your life and he visits you and he brings people across your path. And we saw last week with Paul, you know, how he led him to Lydia. You know, how these things, they work in such a simplicity, but the Lord is in such a control behind these things. He knows how to get us to the place that we're supposed to be. Yeah, so the Lord has the agenda. He has the purpose. He has the plan. It's all mapped out. It's all written out. Nothing's going to take him by surprise, but he's not going to show us the whole thing from the beginning, because that's going to mess things up, because we're going to mess it up. And also Satan's going to get hold of the plan and he's going to complicate things. So the Lord hides it all. It's all in a mystery. And then when he wants you to move to the next stage in your calling, or he wants to visit you in the beginning to start off your Christian walk, he opens a seal. He reveals himself. An anointing comes forth. Something starts to move spiritually. And you can sense it for yourself that something's taking place. You're at a junction. You're at a season or a time of visitation. The Lord is doing something. And we'll see just now what's the best thing we can do at those kind of junctions. He also said, we saw it last week or the week before, a seal is loosing a ministry, loosening a message. Every one of us has a ministry. Every one of us is called to minister to the Lord, to minister to the body of Christ. Now, some have a ministry of intercession, some have a ministry of exhortation, some are just Barnabases, they're sons of encouragement, consolation. Others are given to prayer. Others are given to ministry. Others are given, you know, to support. We all have a ministry. That's all sealed up. That's all the mystery has for your life. What exactly is the purpose that he called you for? Now, what does the Lord want to, how does he want to use you inside of your life? Because he doesn't call us for nothing. We know the quote, Brabham says, he must have had a purpose when he called me because there were millions dying in sin at that time. So when he called me, there was a specific purpose for that. And that's all under the seal, the mystery of your life is sealed inside. He knows exactly your purpose, why he made you the way that you are, why he allowed you to be born in the place that you were, why he allowed you to go through the upbringing that you had, or to put, even when you didn't know him, but it was putting things in your experience that are going to be used for his glory. Once you start walking in the channel now of this mystery of your life, when you start walking with him, walking in the spirit, you're going to find that nothing is wasted inside of your life. Tragedy, heartache, sadness, all the things you go through, there was a reason for those things. And once we become believers and we start walking with Christ, we put those things in his hands, we start understanding now that he was in control of our lives even before we knew him, because that's the mystery of our lives. So let's just have a look just quickly at David to give an idea. So the big picture, the big seal, in the days of David, in that time, it was the kingdom age. The Lord wanted to establish the kingdom. They'd been through the judges. Now Joshua brought them into the land. Now the judges had been there, but now the Lord wanted to establish the kingdom age. Now he wanted to get his people established. He wanted to build the temple, set Jerusalem as the capital and all that. So he's gonna need to break a seal, the seal of the age, this great overall mystery of what God wants to achieve. But in order to do that, he's going to need a lot of different people in individual places, individual times to bring this great, great purpose to pass. This great mystery, it's going to need people. So look at David. The first seal already breaks in his life when Samuel comes to him. Now, there's an announcement in the heavens. The Lord speaks to his prophet Samuel, and he says, "Go down to Bethlehem to the sons of Jesse. I have chosen me a king from among his sons." That was a mystery sealed up until then. David doesn't know this. Samuel, even the prophet, didn't know it. But the Lord, now there's a mystery. Something unfolds. Something is announced in heaven. Samuel catches it. Down he goes and he anoints David. The spirit comes upon him. An anointing is released. And a ministry starts going forth just in its infancy. Now the second seal there, you see David kills the lion. You know, so an anointing comes and he starts seeing the manifestation of God in his own life, in his own individual way. He starts seeing the reality of God. And then the seal at the bottom, here comes the bear. You know, the bigger challenge comes. And then on to Goliath. And now it becomes more public. So he's proved himself faithful in the inside life, in his hidden life, in the backside there, when he's looking after sheep, still waters, green pastures. And now the Lord says, "Okay, I've established you up to this stage. You know, I've developed you. You've been walking with me. Now it's time to take this a step higher." And now he goes before the whole of Israel and he goes and kills Goliath. And now he starts becoming known. And then it just keeps unfolding itself. There's another visitation. The anointing comes on him. Goliath comes down. He prophesies. And the next thing we find is David is king in Hebron. You know, he's got the real anointing. Now the fullness of the purpose is being fulfilled. And he's playing his part, a major part, in fulfilling the great purpose that God has for the age. Now Samuel had his part here to play in that. And bless you. And Jonathan had his part here to play. And David's mighty men. And you could go through so many people. You could go through even, you know, Abigail at that time. And you go through, you know, so many different characters in those portions of the word that were under the seal of the age. But there had to be, you know, the reality of God, visitation, moving them on from one stage to another, preparing them and equipping them and teaching them and guiding them to bring them to the place they could properly play their part, their individual mystery, which fits together in the mystery for your age. Yeah, so we can just see how it fits together. So we like to bring it down to this individual level, as we've been doing the last couple of weeks. So once the Lord comes down inside of your life or mine or even to an age, it works the same way. When a seal is broken, when the Lord unfolds something, wants to do something, wants to reveal something, what is the most important thing for us to do at a junction like that? When you recognize it's a season of visitation, you know, that something's the Lord is wanting to do something. The most important thing is you must respond. At these junctions, whenever a seal has been broken, Yeah, when there's the Lord wants to move you and you can sense it that you've maybe walked, you've been at this mountain for too long. The Lord wants to take you to the next stage or whatever that it is. Yeah, we must respond. That's the key to the Christian life of his visitations, divine opportunities that present themselves, doors that he opens to us. When the waters are being troubled, we must step in. That's the most important thing. Yeah, I like this quote in the prayer line. This is from the message, Jesus Christ the Same, 1956. The prophet's under discernment, and he points out over the audience, and he says, "Mister, sitting on the end of the seat, do you want to get over that rapture? You think God will heal you of that rapture and make you well?" Then he says, "If you believe it, you can receive it." And the man, then you can see if you listen to the prayer, it's up to you whether you want to accept it or not. You believe with all your heart. You know, he's trying to get the man to respond, to accept. You can imagine what's happening. The pillar of fire now has gone and is right above this man. This is his season to be delivered. If he can just respond, this is like redemption, the seal of redemption. Maybe he's been sick for a long time. And the Lord's granting him a visitation that there's a junction now. And he has to choose what he's going to do at this junction. Is he going to accept it? Is he going to respond? Is he going to believe? And that was going to open up the next stage of his calling to the Lord. And maybe he can go and testify. And now he's going to be well. So whatever the mystery God has for his life can go to the next stage. But the prophet says, that didn't please the Holy Spirit just right. The man ought to see it, you see, just a moment. You've got to respond to it. He says, it left me. See, it went to the audience. So instead of being over the man now and showing the man's life to the prophet, it moved on to somebody else. He says, I called the man and he didn't catch it. See, he must respond just as soon as he called you. God don't want you lingering. He wants you to answer him. See, you know, so the season of visitation, the time of your visitation, at the beginning, when the Lord calls you, and right the way through our lives at these junctions, a time of visitation is called a season because it has a beginning point and an ending point. Like when the angel came down on the waters, you had to step in seasonably. You had to seize the opportunity. You had to recognize the importance of that moment and forget about everything else and say, okay, look, the Lord's trying to do so. He wants to help me here. And you grasp the moment, like they say, and you step in. No, you must respond. So that's all we're supposed to do. We can't do anything else in the mystery of redemption except for respond. Obviously, walk in the Spirit, put your sins under the blood, try to just walk faithful before the Lord. And then in those special times when he wants to answer your prayers or take you to the next junction in your life or move you out of that stage that you are, you're going to sense that the Lord is doing something and he's speaking to you and he's leading you maybe in different ways. You just got to respond. That's all you got to do. He says that's the most important thing. And he says it in the fifth seal. We'll prove to you by the history of the church and the opening of the seals. Watch exactly. The church responded to the anointing. They couldn't do nothing else. So whenever the Lord visits, whenever the heavens are opened, all you've got to do is respond to that anointing. And that may mean sacrifice. That may mean repentance. That may mean moving to a place you didn't want to go. That may mean stepping out of the comfort zone. Whatever that it means at that time, it's an individual thing. And the Lord will make it real to you at that junction. If you want the blessing of the Lord and to move beyond where you are now to the next stage in your calling, the next chapter in the book of the mystery of your life, you've just got to respond in those junctions. It's a very important thing to do, is to respond. Now, he speaks about your absolute. Now, we know the prophets preaches absolute several times. Firstly, he says the absolute is the Bible, which is absolutely true. He also goes to show that an absolute is a prophet in an age. If you want to really know the absolute in your day, go to the messenger of your age. I mean, he's the one God has sent to declare the conditions of your age. And also, you know, the message that God sends in every age is an absolute. It's the end of strife. You know, it's God speaking to the age, God answering the questions, God showing you how to navigate yourself individually or your family through the conditions, the challenges of that age. Yeah, but he also gives absolute in another way when we're speaking about your individual calling. He says, listen, this is from the message absolute. I want to tell you something. He had a purpose in saving me. He had a purpose in saving you. And I'm determined by his will to do it, not to add to it or take away from it. And he says, Revelations 22:19, if you want to put that down. And then he's going to read the scripture. We're going to read it on the next slide. So the prophet, now he's taking the book of redemption, yeah, the book of Revelation, and he's saying, like it says in the scripture, Revelations 22:18, we read at the beginning, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of prophecy. So the prophet's taking that instead of it being the overall mystery of redemption, which Revelations is revealing to us, he's bringing it down to the individual level. He's saying, look, God has a purpose in saving me. I want to do what he's called me to do. What he's called me to do, that's the mystery written in my book of redemption. I don't want to add to that book either, and I don't want to take away from that. I don't want to add to what the Lord called me to be, and I don't want to take away from what he's calling me to be. You see, this is where the problem comes in now at these junctions, because, you know, Satan's going to try to do his best. Proverbs says Satan's going to do everything, the enemy in every way that he can will try to get you away from that absolute. You know, so that real purpose that God has for you, that's something which he wrote in his book about you from before the foundation of the world. You know, God's purpose for you will never change. His thoughts, his plans will never change. And that's got to be our absolute. What he reveals to you and me, the revelation of your calling, the revelation of his working in your life, the purpose that he called you for has got to be your and my absolute. You know, everything else has got to come secondary to that. We've got to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to get us away from that absolute, that calling, that purpose, that mystery that the Lord is unfolding inside of our lives. That's Satan's job, is to get us away from that. And it's in his best interest to move us away from that place, from walking in that channel, walking in the will, the perfect will of God. Now, the Lord wants us to stay in that channel. When he does, he said to Joshua, don't turn to the left hand or to the right. Meditate there. Then your ways will be prosperous. No man will stand before you. It's easy, though, for us to be sidetracked because we're people of 5 natural senses as well. You know, we've got our imaginations and that as well, our own thoughts, our own will, our own ideas. So his preferred way of keeping us in the channel of our calling, to move us on from stage to stage, is obviously by revealing his word to us, speaking to us through his word. That's the greatest way he likes to speak to us. And we hear his voice and we perceive that the Lord is speaking to me and we respond. That's the best way. But if we decide we don't want to listen to that way, or we miss the junction because we want to go our own way, he's got other ways of getting us back on track. And that's exactly what we'll see in the church ages, and we'll see in our individual lives. When our will doesn't line up with his will, and when his ways, we don't want it to be our ways, you know, the Lord has ways of making us willing. You know, he has other ways of dealing with us. And one of these is through the plagues. That's what the prophet shows us in the 7 church ages and on past there, and the seals. Now, a plague is a temporary judgment. That's what he's going to show us. So God has many methods and many ways of revealing redemption and working his plan of redemption. He did it through church ages, through seals in those church ages. But the prophet says there's also trumpets and plagues and vials and all these other things. So God has many weapons that he can use, many, many ways that he can work in the lives of his people to get the job done. Yeah, and plagues, speaking of the church age itself, we'll see that. The prophet says, when there's an announcement in the heavens and God opens a seal, God takes his messenger with the elect of that day, lays them away asleep, and then he drops a plague on them who rejected it, a temporary judgment. So whenever a seal opens and people see that, I don't want to go that way, I don't want to walk in that light, I don't want to walk in the anointing of that seal, the Lord says, okay, I need to drop a temporary judgment now. There's got to be some chastisement. There's got to be some correction. Now let's have a look at this one. So let's take it to the church ages. If you look at the 1857 revival of Dwight Moody, Finney, and all of them, and it came to Northern Ireland, to the Ulster revival in 1859. Very powerful revival. The Lord opened something at that time. There was an anointing release, revival, visitation. Yeah, and God restored his church, the next stage in the process of restoration. But what happened to the people who never walked in the seal? The prophet says God lays the elect under their messenger aside. You know, they sealed under their seal. But you find there came the American Civil War. So the revival went up to 1859, 1860. And then in 1861, there came a temporary judgment. The prophet speaks of it. There came a plague. God had to judge. Because when you reject, you know, God has to correct in some kind of a way to show people that they missed the junction. And it's really sad, but the 750,000 young men died in that war. But God had first opened the seal, and he had made a way for people to be sealed away and to walk in his will. And when the people rejected, there's always, nationally speaking or church age speaking, there's always judgments that follow these things. That's how we have a tribulation on the way. You know, for this great seal that's broken at the end, there's a great judgment that comes for a world rejecting it. I'll give you one more example before we bring it to our personal lives. Okay, so if you go back to the New Century Awakening 100 years ago, starting with the Welsh Revival, 1904, Azusa Street, 1906, it went to India, South Africa, all over. We've looked at that before. There was a great anointing released. The church age was opened. The gifts of the Spirit were restored. The baptism of the Holy Ghost came back. You know, dynamic power came back into the church. So God did something there. And not surprised to find out that straight after that, there comes a temporary judgment to those who rejected. There came the First World War, the Great War, 1914. Immediately after that came the Spanish flu, 1918, which killed more people than the First World War killed. So then you came pestilences and plagues and famines and sword, war. All these things are judgments, temporary judgments. This is not the final seven vials being poured out. It was a temporary judgment that follows the opening of a seal. Whenever the Lord opens something and visits, and people don't walk in his way, they reject, you know, redemption at that junction. There's always a temporary judgment that comes. So let's try to bring it into our lives then. How does this apply individually in the mystery of our lives? You know, in this book of the prophecy of our lives, if we want to see how the Lord deals with us, okay, let's take King Uzziah first of all. So King Uzziah tells us in Chronicles, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. So the heavens were opened. God sent a prophet, released a prophetic anointing. Zechariah was there. And at first, King Uzziah, he found his place. He saw his name under the seal, that I'm supposed to be king at this time, and I must walk in the channel. You know, I must be faithful in my calling, in protection and provision and all these things, raising an army, fortifying my cities, make sure that the country prospers. So he was very, very prosperous. It says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So as long as he stayed in the anointed channel of what God was doing in that day, stayed under the visions of God, with Zechariah being the visions of God being revealed, Uzziah found his place and all was going well. And what a blessing. He would have been another King David just about if he had kept going. But you all know the story that it didn't really finish there, because he was such a blessing. And then, but when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar. So you see on the little seal at the top there, I put a plus. He's adding to the words of the prophecy of his book. Now, what was written of him, the mystery of his life, which the Lord wrote in his book, the book that God had, the mystery of his walking in with the Lord in his day, the purpose that he was supposed to fulfill, Uzziah decided to add to the words of the book. He decides, I'm going to be a priest. He's never called to do this. He's not equipped to do this. He wasn't born to do this. And this is where we get ourselves in trouble, especially in ministry. You know, you find people want to take the place of the prophet, and you know, and we find all these kind of things which we see in our age. Because God blesses a man and God raises him up when he's walking in the light, walking in the channel of the mystery of that age. He's faithful. He's walking under the anointing of the seal of his day. And then he thinks, now, okay, let me add a little bit more. Let me go and do what somebody else does. His heart gets lifted up. You know, so whenever you add to the book, it said, we read the scripture, Revelations 22, whoever adds to the words of the prophecy of this book, I'll add the plagues that are written in these books. So straight away we find when the ministry comes to try to correct him, put him back in the right channel once again, he gets wrath, he's angry against the ministry. And while he was wrath with the priests, the leprosy rose up in his forehead. That's a sad thing. He gets smitten by the plague. So this is a temporary judgment. Now, sickness is one of these things. It's a temporary judgment that the Lord visits upon his people. When I was listening to it just this week, when the prophet went to South Africa and the Lord told him, don't follow this agenda that these people have said. You go to Johannesburg, go to Sydney Jackson to rest for 10 days, then you go to Durban until I tell you. And then because he got himself caught up with the wrong people, they took him to Clarksdorp, to Kimberley, to Grahamstown, to all of these, or to Port Elizabeth. And the prophet and the whole party got sick with amoeba, dysentric amoeba, whatever, a very serious illness. And he was out of the pulpit for months, 7, 8 months. That was a temporary judgment, a plague. When the Lord opens a seal, when he reveals his purpose, and you can see what it is the Lord's calling you to do, and there's always Satan's going to try to move you from that absolute. This is where the challenge comes in. And the prophet now being caught in a difficult situation in South Africa, he went in along with their itinerary and sickness now visited them straight away. So sickness is one of these things, you know, one of the plagues that can be visited, but it's in the book of redemption. So it's not a sickness unto death. The Lord allows these sicknesses to come to teach us a lesson because we've missed a junction. Because we're trying to follow our own will, our own ways, we're putting other things ahead of this absolute that should be the absolute inside of our lives. He's got to chastise us in some way. And he's got to teach us, no, you can't do that. You can't just walk in your own ways and think I'm going to continue to bless you. Like I say, his preferred method is through the word, through convicting you by his spirit, and you repent and then all is well. But if you don't want to listen to the word, sometimes he's going to drop these, open these plagues and drop these temporary judgments upon us like he did with King Uzziah. Now, I love it in the message, the prophet says, King Uzziah wasn't lost. He was a godly man. It tells us in verse 23 of that chapter, Uzziah slept with his fathers. So the prophet says he never was lost. That was a temporary judgment. God chastened him in the flesh. But when he died, he slept with his fathers. Because he was a godly man, but he paid a big price and he lost his throne and couldn't go up to the house of the Lord. There's a lot of things happened inside of his life because he failed. He wanted to add to the words of the prophecy of his book. And we don't need to do that. You know, you need to just don't try to be something that you hate, like Congressman Upshaw said. That God made you for a purpose. Just stay humble. The prophet said, don't pull anything out of God. Don't seek for gifts. Don't seek for ministries. You become a stuffed shirt. You'll get proud and lifted up like Uzziah. If God has anything for you, he knows how to bring it to you. Like he did with David. You know, just each junction, he knows how to bring you to the place, anoint you, move you on to the next one, take you back to the quarry, develop deeper character inside of you, take you to the next junction inside of your life. So King Uzziah is a very good example of this temporary judgment. You know, so that's part of God's working of redemption. Revelations 3 verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Now ask yourself, how does God chasten? He chastens with the sword. You know, you can maybe chastens with famine, you lose your job. He chastens with pestilence, that sickness, you get sick. Like Sister Mida, she gets a tumor. That was a temporary judgment, a plague that was visited upon her. We'll see it as we go a little bit deeper in. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more excellent fruit. You know, so when the Lord sees that you are a fruitful bough, you his elect, you his child, God has prophesied about you, written you in his book. He's got a purpose, a plan for your life. And you decide it's okay. I don't really want to go that way. I want to go my own way. It's okay. He knows how to prune you to bring forth more excellent fruit. You know, none of us like it. Paul says, no chastisement is pleasant while it's taking place, but afterwards it brings forth good fruit inside of our life. So, you know, and these temporary judgments that the Lord sometimes has to visit upon us. Paul says, concerning communion, he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself. That's judgment. Not discerning the Lord's body. So people were failing to discern the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you and many sleep. Many died. Many went home early because they wouldn't be corrected, because the word couldn't correct them. They wanted just to keep going. Not discerning the Lord's body. He says many are weak. That means weak physically and spiritually. So sometimes if you look inside of your life, and you see spiritual weakness, you've lost your vision, you've lost the divine reality. It's like the heavens are like brass. That's the tender hand of Jehovah many times, trying to show you, you're missing a junction here. You're trying to do things your own way. Yeah, you're trying to follow your own leadership. You think you know better than me. We all get in those stages. And the Lord says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And Paul's saying, that's the reason many are weak and many are sick. That's a temporary judgment. These people weren't lost. He says, and many sleep. They didn't die. They weren't lost. They slept in Christ. He says, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, so the Lord's going to come with his word. He's going to come maybe through other people. He's going to come through the message, through the ministry, through the body of Christ that's around you, because he loves you. And he's going to say, hey, be careful of that attitude. Well, okay, you wanted to go and live there in Saudi Arabia where there's no fellowship. If I were you, I'd be careful. I don't know if this is the will. Okay, you want to go and live in Alaska? I don't think it's a good idea. Remember, the Lord spoke to the prophet and said, if you go to Alaska, if you follow your plans, you'll become a bum and your wife will leave you like you saw in the dream. Yeah, so the Lord needs to, sometimes we can be going to make the most ridiculous decisions, but because of the condition that we're in, the stage that we're in, a valley, yeah, to us, it seems like it makes sense at that time. And the Lord has his message. He has his ministry. He has the body. He has all these ways that he tries to minister us back into the right place. Get rid of the amnesia. Bring us back into the channel of our calling. You know, bring us back to the place we're supposed to be. And if you don't listen to that, then he says, okay, maybe I need to drop a little bit of a temporary judgment here. Yeah, then maybe you get sick and you're lying on a hospital bed. Promises sometimes he has to lay you on your back on a hospital bed to make you look up because you were so busy in life, you weren't listening to the Lord. So sometimes we lose our jobs. Sometimes there's so many ways the Lord does it, but it's the book of redemption. So his thoughts behind it are always good. He's doing it for our best. You know, these are works of redemption. This is the mystery of redemption inside of our lives. This is the book of redemption. So, you know, he's not doing it in his undiluted anger like he's going to do in the tribulation period. The vials are going to pour out without mercy. This is mercy and judgment. You know, judgment coming with mercy to teach us. He's giving us a hiding. He's pruning us. He's chastising us. He says, but when we are judged by the Lord, we are chastened of the Lord. Every child must be chastened. Corrected, that we should not be condemned with the world. So the Lord says, no, I don't want you to continue down this way. Yeah, I don't want to judge you the way I'm going to have to judge the world. So I'm going to stop you in your tracks. I'm going to deal with you in a temporary judgment. And Paul's speaking about that principle there. Now, Brother Ramsey, the prophet speaks about Brother Ramsey. He was a minister. Imagine, he was a preacher. And then one day, the colored brother, Sam, I think his name came to see Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, I just want to tell you what happened to Brother Ramsey. He said, I've been working with Brother Ramsey all these years. The other day, this is what he says, he took his preacher's license, went over to the basket, tore them apart, threw them in the basket, says, I don't want nothing to do with it no more. Yay. I think most preachers have come to that place. Most believers have come to that place as well at some junction in your life. I don't want anything to do with this anymore. Now, the Lord knows how to deal with us. I mean, and he deals in love and he pours in the oil and the wine. He does everything he can. So the prophet says, so we went now to him. So this brother said, Reverend Branham, I don't know about this here Dr. Ramsey around here. We were used to be so scared to even open our mouth around you. You're such a godly man. But then he went and tore up his preacher's papers. And the prophet says, so I went to speak to him. Brother Neville went. Another minister, Brother Smith, went. He said, we tried to correct him. Because he told this colored brother, go across the river there. Take my car and go buy me a crate of beer. Now, he was working on a Sunday. Imagine this minister fixing a car. And this young colored brother used to work with him. He said, no ways. I'm not going to go and buy alcohol for a servant of God. He said, okay, I'll do it myself. And Brother Ramsey got in the car, drove across the river, bought himself some beer, came back and was drinking his beer. And people went to him and tried to correct him with the word and tried to correct him with prayer and with love and all the God's preferred ways of dealing with us in judgment. But Brother Ramsey says, he started going down and he got sick. This is a temporary judgment. You see, God couldn't speak to him. I warned him. I did everything I could. Brother Smith went to him and warned him. Everybody tried to do everything they could for him. Still, he just shook his head. What happened? He took sick and died. That's what Paul is saying. Many are sick. Many sleep. He took sick and died. So the prophet says, that showed he was a saved man. If God could not bring him into obedience, he would have to take him out of the earth and bring him home. That's exactly what the Bible said. That's what the Bible promises. Paul says, if you won't stand correction, you've got to come on home. Now, that is the most extreme form of a temporary judgment, is when the Lord takes you home. Yeah, and I think none of us want to do those kind of things. That's what I'm just trying to show. The Lord's mystery of redemption, it's deeper than we think. You know, his hand, he can stretch forth his hand in many, many ways, just as much as he loves to stretch forth his hand in blessing. You know, when it's necessary, he knows how to stretch forth his hand in other ways. It's very, very important principle that the prophet is teaching here. But he shows, like King Uzziah, he was a saved man. So when he died, he slept, he went to be with his fathers. Like Brother Ramsey, he wasn't lost, but he wouldn't be corrected by the word and by ministry and by the body of Christ and by circumstance. He got sick, and even sickness didn't bring him to repentance. So the Lord had to take him home. What about Jonah, our brother Jonah, we looked at the other week? When the Lord said to him, go to Nineveh, the seal was opening. I put a minus on this one here because he's taking away from the words of the prophecy of the book. The Lord's telling him to do something and he's saying no. He's not adding like Uzziah, trying to do something that God didn't tell him to do. Here's Jonah clearly saying to the Lord by his actions, maybe not by his words, I'm not going to Nineveh. Never, I'm going to Tarshish. So the Lord had to send a plague. A seal's open, an announcement in the heavens. God has a mystery. He wants to save the people of Nineveh. It's a season of visitation, season of redemption, a very important junction. There's names and ministries under the seal. Jonah's a very important one. He should have seen his name under the seal, seen his ministry, his calling there, put himself in the hands of the Lord, responded, yielded to the anointing, gone, and he would have seen the great revival without any sorrow. So he decides, no, I'm going to go to Tarshish. And now the Lord sends out a great wind into the sea. he sends a great wind. Wind speaks of strife. It speaks of wars, if you bring it into our own lives. How does the Lord blow the wind inside of your life? It storms, it troubles inside of life, strife. Remember Jesus said, when the man builds his house on the sand, then the winds and the rain, it's anointings, it's spirits that come, winds, it's strife, it's afflictions and all these kind of things. But Jonah's in the natural, so he has a great wind. The Lord sends it out into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest. Friends, things got rough in this man's life. That was tough. until in the end they throw him out. He gets swallowed by the fish. Down he goes to the belly of hell, that he says. Then he repents. He sets his face to the Lord, and the Lord starts turning things around. You know, so you can see, you don't want to be taking away from the mystery of the prophecy of your book, of what God has ordained for you. And it's easy to do it. The prophet did it in Mishawaka. Remember, the Lord opened the seal. We saw it the other week, the mystery, the anointing came down. He won favor. It was time to go to the Pentecostals. And then because of his mother-in-law, he took away. Don't add or take away. You know, what the Lord is calling him to do, he didn't do that. Just like Jonah. And there's always going to be a temporary judgment. There's going to be plagues that are going to follow the opening of the seals. Now, if you stay under your seal, you stay under that anointing, that working that God is doing in your life at that junction, what a blessing. This is going to get deeper and deeper and further and further. And God's going to bless you and use you. And he's going to bless even you materially. He's going to bless you spiritually. He's going to bless you in every way inside of your life. But it's Satan's duty to move us out of that place. And he's got some big allies. He's got your flesh. He's got your reasoning. He's got your human understanding. He's got your will that can work together with him if you're not careful. Now you think of Jehoshaphat. So Jehoshaphat decides to add to the mystery of God's purpose for his life. God doesn't want Jehoshaphat to be friends with King Ahaziah, because he's the son of Ahab. And this is where we get in trouble sometimes as well in our lives. We want to add to God's program. We want to become friends with people God doesn't want us to be friends with. They're bad influence. We're not supposed to be with these people. But we decide, okay, let's make business together with King Ahaziah. So it says, the Lord sends now. A mystery opens in heaven. The Lord speaks to Eliezer the prophet, sends him Jehoshaphat. Because you've joined yourself with Ahaziah, the king, the Lord has broken thy works. And the ships were broken that were not able to go to Tarshish. So you find your whole business venture fails. Because that wasn't the purpose of God for your life. You're not supposed to be together with those kinds of people. You know, you try this, you try that, it doesn't work. God blows on it. All your ships get broken. That can be the greatest thing that happens in your life. Because you're not supposed to be going down that path. Yeah. So this is how God dealt now with King Joshua, because he was trying to add to the program of God for his life. I sent this one out some time back on the daily thing. God will wreck your plans when you see your plans about to wreck you. You're going to find a shipwreck of your plans, and you're going to boohoo a little bit and say, it's not fair, and why does everybody else prosper, not me? And after some time, when you have the right attitude and the Lord reveals to you and then opens things up for you, you get back into the line and the Lord leads you to where you're really supposed to be, you're going to see that was the best thing that ever happened to me. And sometimes this can be relationships. Now, your relationship doesn't work out with somebody. You wanted to marry that person. You are so convinced this is the perfect person made for you, and they get married to somebody else. Sometimes God has to wreck your plans because that plan was going to wreck you. Yeah, that's the goodness of the Lord. That's a temporary judgment because maybe you weren't hearing his voice. So he's going to speak. He's the God of circumstance, like we saw 2 weeks ago. He's going to speak to us through our circumstances. And his voice can be just as clear through circumstances as through his word if we have ears to hear what the Spirit's trying to say to us through our circumstances. What about Abraham? Just to show how strife, these winds, misunderstandings, work according to the plan of God many times. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. I put a plus there because Abraham's trying to add people into his life that are not part of the vision. Lot was not part of the mystery. He wasn't part of the words of the book of the prophecy of Abraham's life. And as long as he had his father with him and he has Lot with him and he brings along all these people, his security blanket, he wants maybe Lot's good with the sword, whatever reason. But he's never going to get fully blessed. And it always, maybe the Lord spoke in different ways about it to Abraham, we don't know. But in the end, the Lord said, okay, there's got to be a separation here. I need my son to be separate from this man so I can take him to the next junction, show him the next stage of his inheritance. And God brings strife, brings arguments and strife and trouble. Now, none of us as believers like that. But I think you like me. I've been long enough to know that God still uses these kind of things now. Now, when there's people inside of your life, maybe they'll be good people. You find it with Paul and Demas. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. The prophet says it in present state to the ministry. That was God separating Paul. This was God separating Abraham by bringing strife and misunderstandings. And look, the way you judge whether it's God doing it is, are you in the spirit? Are you praying for that person? Are you trying to do your best to be a Christian to them? This isn't speaking about strife when you both, you know, out of the spirit and you almost putting up your dukes to one another. No, it's not that. Abraham was walking in the spirit. Yeah, he's trying his best to serve the Lord. And now he's got a thorn in his flesh. It's Lot and his herdsmen. Just keep on causing problems. And then finally, Abram says, okay, you go your way, I'll go my way. And then Abram goes down to Sodom and, you know, we know what happens to him down there. But it was God. God allowed that. There was like a temporary judgment, bringing strife, bringing winds and storms and strife into the camp. Same with Hagar and with Ishmael. Abram didn't want to send Ishmael away, but Ishmael wasn't part of the plan. Abram's tried to add to the purpose of God's purpose for his life. So God has to bring a strife. And Hagar saying all these proud and arrogant things against Sarah. And the Lord has said, Abram, listen to the voice of your wife. Send the bondswoman away with her son. It was hard, but they weren't part of the plan. They weren't part of the program of God. And God can never, ever bless us fully when we're holding on to things that are not part of the vision. Now we're holding on to people. I learned that mistake, but that lesson big time those years, 2012, 2013. Hard lessons. You try to hold on to people, and all they're trying to do is just cause a headache. And because of human compassion and whatever, our own human temperament, which gets in the way of God's will, sometimes we get ourselves in problems like Abraham, and it's hard lessons, but God chastises us, and all he wants us to do is learn from those lessons. So that's Abraham with Lot coming to a close. What about the prophet after Mishawaka? Now, from here, listen. I listened to my mother-in-law instead of God. I forsook the church. The seal had opened. It was time for him to go to the Pentecostals. I went back to the Baptist people. He goes to Tarshish, not to Nineveh, like us. Right where plagues hit my home. You see, there's always going to be plagues coming at that time. Then his, you know, the people get sick, his wife gets sick, and his daughter, and there's the grave there, you know, of Sister Hope and Sharon Rose. It's very sad. But that way he said it was necessary. It was God's purpose, the crushing of a rose to bring forth the perfume. He says there was too much Branham in there. So the Lord had opened the way and spoken to him in every way that he could. And then the Lord saw, okay, this is difficult. You are now taking away from the book of the words of your prophecy, the words that I've spoken of you. These are the people you're supposed to be associated with. I'm not going back to the Baptist people again. You know, so you're taking away from the purpose of God for your life. Now, the Lord is gracious. I mean, before he brings us to this, this was a calling of a prophet who was going to be used in such a mighty way. I mean, the Lord doesn't do these kind of things very often. It seems very, very hard, but it was necessary, like the prophet said, at that junction in his life. Okay, let's finish with Haggai. So here's King Cyrus, the seal for the age is opened. The mystery is opened. The anointing comes down. Cyrus says, the Lord has commissioned me to build his house. You know, all the people in captivity at this time, in Babylon, in Persia, and that. Cyrus comes down, anointing, the announcement in the heavens. Go forth, build the house of the Lord. And certain people respond. You know, 46,000, whatever, the book of Ezra. They go back and they start building the house of the Lord. And they really, really start doing well. Yeah, things started well. That's the mystery of the day. But after a while, they start getting out of the channel of their calling. And the Lord has to send the prophet Haggai to them. Because the people now, they stop building the house of the Lord for different reasons. And they start building their own houses, putting all wood paneling and all these kind of things. And the Lord has to send, open now a seal. Break, send an, make an announcement, send forth an anointing. The prophetic comes. The Lord wants to minister these people back into the channel of their calling. So he says, Haggai, when the Lord speaks through him, says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Speaking about the harvest. Why, saith the Lord of the hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and you run every man to his own house. You're seeking your own kingdom. You're not seeking first my kingdom. So the Lord, after a while, he had enough of it, and he started to curse their blessings. This is a temporary judgment. And they'd come home at the end of the month and check the salary in the bank. And this has been taken by the government, and this addition is taken. He says, when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. You looked for much and it came to little. And he said, but hey, I thought this month we were going to be okay financially. And then you get a knock in the engine, and the engine lights, like in the car, the sister was saying, come on all the time and stuff. And you have to pump, and then your dishwasher breaks, and then your oven breaks, and then you need a new microwave. And yay, what's going on? I'm not saying it's all the time that it's this. Yeah, but it can be. Sometimes the Lord said, like he did through Haggai many times, consider your ways. You need to ask, Lord, where's your blessing upon the things that I do? You promised to bless us. You promised to make us the head and not the tail. You promised that we would lend and we wouldn't borrow. You know, there's seasons we go through where things are tough, and that's natural. That's part of the cycle of life. But, the people weren't hearing the voice of the God of circumstance. When God was trying to speak to them through, the only thing they were going to hear was through the harvest, through their money, through the natural things that surrounded them, their prosperity. Then the Lord had to send Haggai. So they're not getting the point. Let me go and really, really make it clear to them why all of these things are happening, because they're not discerning this. So Haggai says, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. So they go to the vineyard and all the grapes are withered up. This isn't what we thought it was going to be. Now, this is God's mercy. It's his goodness. This is the tender hand of Jehovah. When he curses our blessings, it means he's got a greater blessing in store. But we need to learn the lesson. Because what we're doing at this time, which is causing the blessings to be cursed, it's going to hinder us from getting to the greater blessings down the way. So he's got to deal with us thoroughly on this one now so he can move us on to the real thing later on. So here the blessings are cursed. And then the Lord says, and I called for a drought upon the land. Now this can apply spiritually inside of our souls as well. Now you take the wrong attitude towards the messenger, wrong attitude towards the message, take the wrong attitude towards the body of Christ, take the wrong attitude towards what? People in church failing to discern the body of the Lord, and you hold on to it, and the Lord speaks to you, say, forgive, pray for that person, go and make right. And you keep on, you allow that to become a root of bitterness, you get very dry in your experience. There's no more showers of blessing. There's no more dewdrops of mercy anymore. And it says, the Lord says, I called for the drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine. Now, spiritually, that's revelation. And upon the oil. Hey, that's the anointing. That's the Holy Ghost. And upon that which the ground brings forth, your harvest, upon men, upon cattle, and upon all the labor of your hands. Imagine the Lord calling for drought on all of those things. That's a tough junction of life. Yeah. As soon as you can, friends, the best thing for us at those junctions is go back to the Lord and say, Lord, what am I supposed to learn from this? What are you trying to teach me here? I've missed a junction. I've missed what you're trying to do. Lord, I'm not really hearing your voice. Please make it clear to me. What is it? Search me, Lord. Try me. See if there's any wicked thing inside of me. Because you don't want to stay in that condition for too long, because Satan takes it. An advantage. So what does he want us to do? In conclusion, he wants us to learn the lessons. So the temporary judgments come with a voice behind them. There's the voice. He's trying to speak to us. So here's the conductor. They're practicing there in the orchestra and the guys miss the junction. They play it wrong. He stops them and says, let's take it from the top. He tells them where they went wrong, and then he says, okay, let's do it again. And that's what the Lord does to us. You miss that junction, maybe a temporary judgment falls on you. Then once you learn the lesson and you hear the voice of the Lord and you return, you repent, you humble yourself, you do whatever it is the Lord is asking you to do, that it's like he's the conduct. So, okay, let's start again. Let's take it from the top. Let's get going once again. And that's the blessing of the Lord. Look what he does to in the book of Haggai, the next verse, verse 12, the people now, when Haggai comes and prophesies and Zechariah tells them why their blessings are being cursed, the people repent. And the straightaway, things change. He says, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree hath not brought forth. He says, the fruit hasn't yet come forth, but from this day I'll bless you. He says, your attitude is good. You've learned the lesson of this temporary judgment, this plague that I dropped on you. There's no more need for the plague anymore. Now I'm going to bless you. Now go and check your fig trees. Go and mark on your calendar. From today, you're going to see a difference in your harvest. You're going to see a difference in your health. You're going to see a difference in your job. You're going to see a difference in your prayer life. You're going to see a difference when you open up the word, when you listen to a message. There's going to be the new wine again. There's going to be the oil. There's going to be the quickening power. The joy will come back. The showers of blessing will come back. And then the Lord will say, let's continue on as if nothing's happened, because you've learned the lessons you're supposed to learn. And what about Jonah? Take it from the top. Once he learns a lesson in the belly of the big fish and he gets spat out on the beach. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. That was the mystery of his life. God wasn't going to change his mind about Jonah. He just wanted him to learn the lesson. And once Jonah repented and learned the lesson, the Lord now just came back and said, okay, let's take it from the top. Let's do it again. Jonah, go to Nineveh and preach. So Jonah arose. That's the difference. This time he responded to the anointing. He responded at the junction. He responded to that divine visitation. And he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And we know the great, great revival that came, that took place there. You know, so you can see God is not in the business of trying to frustrate us. God is not the author of confusion. God is not the author of frustration. No, he's the author of peace. He wants good things for us, and he knows the best way to speak to us. Sometimes he knows how to customize things just right to get us to hear his voice at that junction. But what is his desire? That our hearts are soft, that we tremble at his word, that when he speaks to us, we say, Lord, here I am. And when he speaks to us, you say, woe is me. You know, that you respond to his word. The Lord doesn't want to have to chastise his people in these kind of ways. But we've all been through it. We've all been through these kind of things. And it's the loving kindness of the Lord. Because as many as I love, them I rebuke and chasten. So you can see, just as much as there's seals for the age, there's seals in our lives. Just as much as there's plagues for the age, temporary judgments, there's plagues in our lives as well, and trumpets as well, if you get onto it. You'll see each of these things of redemption, the way God deals with the church is the way he deals with us. And it's good for us to submit ourselves, Paul says, to the Father of spirits and to live, to just submit ourselves to his hand and say, okay, Lord, teach me your ways, show me your ways, and let me walk in you. And what a blessing that it becomes. Let's pray before we finish. Father, we've all been in these things, Lord, and we know that afterwards, when we learn the lesson and we see your goodness and see that it was you all along, Father, what a blessing that it is, Lord, and how those lessons become lessons so full of virtue that we can minister to other people. And Father, these become stepping stones, not stumbling blocks anymore. I just pray upon this night for every one of your people that's tuned in, anybody that will listen to this down the way, that Father, you would help just in the simplicity of the principles of these things, that you'd help people at the junctions. Father, maybe somebody, they just feel it's been too long. And Father, some people, Lord, are just, you know, looking to Alaska, looking to those kind of things. Father, may you just bring a new hope, a new visitation. May you just speak in a fresh way. May, Lord, we realize at those junctions that many times you're waiting for you, but what it is you're waiting for us. You're waiting for us to respond to the thing that you spoke to us last. So give us soft hearts, Lord, and guide us by your hand and lead us by your spirit, we pray. And bless each and every one of your people upon this evening, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you, each and every one. Anybody want to add anything there? Any thoughts, any comments?
God bless you, Pastor.
God bless.
I just wanted to say a few things. I was Like when you're talking about this temporary judgment thing, it really reminds me of like the past that the Lord has brought me through. Like when I was a younger Christian, I had like a lot of fear. I was quite afraid, and I feel like sometimes like some people have more of like a fight mode, and some people are more like flight. And so me, my nature is very much like just run away. So eventually, the Lord was like, "What are you doing? You gotta stop doing that." And so I was, he wanted me. I can't remember what it was he wanted me to do. And to like just take him at his word, and I really didn't want to do it. And so when I was praying, I opened my Bible, and then it opened to Jeremiah 30, and I have it here. And it says, so it's Jeremiah 30, verse 11. And so the Lord's saying here, it says, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee." And then this is where it says, "But I will correct thee in a measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." And then it goes down in verse 15, and it says, "Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee." But then in verse 17, it says, "But I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds."
You
And
see,
so, so
that's
what
it.
happened was that when I was younger, I had really bad knees. I don't know, me and my sister, we have like our knees are able to like really extend. And so the Lord healed me of it. And it was one of the first things that he did for me actually after I became a Christian. Like he said, "Do you want to be healed?" And I was like, "Yes, I do." And so he healed me, and I thanked him for that. So we were doing very well in that. And then after this happened, and then my knees started going bad again. But
Holy.
I took comfort because I said, "But Lord, you know, you said that." I wasn't stressed by it because, like, "Lord, but you said you will heal me of this wound. You won't leave me like that." And so, in the end, actually, I just worshiped the Lord for that kindness that He showed to me, and I
Yes.
learned the lesson. And we haven't been back that route again. But it's definitely true. Like, if you don't, sometimes it's like fear is trying to keep you from going forward. But we really do need to move forward, because if you don't, it's kind of like when you're walking with the Lord, right? You're going together. But if you lag behind, then you're leaving his headship, and then you're just exposing yourself to anything that can happen to you, you know?
Absolutely. The moment you come out of headship, you become vulnerable. And the Lord doesn't want to. It's like sheep without a shepherd. You're very vulnerable. Yeah. You don't realize it until you get yourself in that position. But that's a very powerful testament. And that scripture is wonderful. It's like we always say to people that natural education type spiritual education is that how long will you be in a class at school until you've learned what you're supposed to learn? Then there's no reason for you to be there anymore. Now they promote you to the next class. And it's the same as the Lord. How long are you going to be in the situation that you are until you learn the lesson that you're supposed to learn in that situation? The Lord's not going to keep you there 1 second longer than you need to be. No, Samson never stayed 1 second longer in the prison house than he needed to stay. But as soon as he learned that lesson, things started to move once again in the heavens, and things started to move in the spheres around him, and the Lord brought him out of there, and the anointing came back. You know, the things that took place. Yes, it's a very powerful principle. Even when he judges in mercy, you know, because it's the best thing for us. He can see for us that if you don't learn that, it's like our children. Many times I say to our guys, I say, guys, I don't like to have to punish you guys, but I do it because I love you. Because if you're going to disobey me now, next you're going to disobey your teacher. Then you're going to disobey your boss at work. And then you're going to disobey the law. So, I mean, if we don't deal with these things now, don't correct these things now. Where do they end up? They don't get better, they get worse. That's how the Lord sometimes has to deal quite strongly with us on these things because He has such an expectation in us. He has plans and thoughts, and He's got so much invested in us, in our callings, and the work that He's really done inside of our lives, that He can't afford to let us play around with these weaknesses. And if you want to play around with them, like Samson, in the end, He's going to say, enough is enough, and it's going to get a severe hiding. But there's still all this mercy at the end of it. So yes, it's a very good thought.
I
Thanks for
thank God for it. Yeah, God
that.
bless
Yeah,
you.
wonderful. Anybody else there? Anybody else? If anybody is on YouTube, you could send it to WhatsApp if you've got anything you want to say or questions. Or are people just saying ouch again, saying yay? People are now thinking and saying, yeah. I wondered why the bank balance was going backwards, not forwards. Well, it can just be sometimes because you just spend too much money. I mean, it can just be a natural thing as well. It can be that you're giving the credit card to the wrong people. It doesn't always mean it's a spiritual reason. It's like you say, I'm sick, I've got diabetes. Yeah, well, you should have stopped long time ago with the cakes and the sugar. So some things are natural consequences, but we do know when the Lord's trying to get his voice across to us. As a believer, my sheep, they hear my voice, they know my voice. You know that, okay, Lord, there's something beyond just the natural here. What is it that you're trying to teach me? And remember, Brother Branham, when he wanted to go to Israel, he felt so much to go to Israel. They arranged meetings in Israel. He got to Cairo, Egypt. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, I want to speak to you. And Branham went out behind the hangar, and the Lord said, it's not time to go. The iniquity of the Amorites, the Gentiles, isn't full yet. Yeah. And then Branham says, what am I supposed to do? He says, no, don't go there. And it was such a big lesson. Like the Lord had to really teach him a lesson right at that juncture, say, don't make your programs without consulting me first. The Lord could have corrected him in America when he made the program. But the Lord allowed to go in. And I think sometimes the Lord, he knows the best way to get the lesson across to us. And in our own temperaments, like the sister was saying, in our own circumstances, he knows the best way to speak to us. So it's good for us just to hear his voice. Anybody else before we finish off there, saints?
God bless you, Pastor.
Oh, sister, God bless.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. And it was something that we spoke about during Sunday school, actually, upstairs, that, for example, God says, honor your parents so that you can live long and fruitful life. When you don't, he's so practical that when you don't do it, there's a consequences.
Absolutely.
And I shared kind of my personal experience. I've experienced that cause and effect. There are times that, sometimes you have disagreements or you disobey, kind of your parents. Like for me, if I kind of disobey mom, or mom and I have an argument, for sure I can guarantee you I'll have a horrible day at work. It happened. And it
Yes.
happened time and time. So to a point that I recognize a pattern, so before, if there's, let's say we have a disagreement, literally I would immediately call and apologize, and then you'll see
Yeah,
it.
very
So I was
good.
just saying, to the children, I was like, sometimes Jesus allow you to have that for you to get it. There's a pattern. Because he's so true, isn't he? So he's a God of truth. It is what it is. He's not changing. He's never changing. And
Yeah.
it's good, and he's so loving that he does it there and there, so you don't have to face a big consequences
That's
later.
right. That's right. That's
So
what said, if we would judge ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. Yeah, that's why it says, if we would really search ourselves first, we don't need the Lord to search us and deal with us. If we repent, if we're honest with ourselves and say, Lord, my attitude is wrong these days, or Lord, I've got a hard feeling against a certain person. That's what he wants. That's what he delights in. Somebody's heart is soft. Like he says, someone who trembles at my word, that he just speaks. And then that's why David was a man after God's own heart. Now, he was a man quick to repent. He was. He was a man quick to recognize and want to learn the lessons, apart from with Bathsheba. But even then, when the prophet came, Psalm 51 came as his repentance. So even his repentance was really, really outstanding. So I think that's the key. It's very good, sister, what you're saying. Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else, sister?
No, all good, Pastor.
Ah, good stuff. Okay, I wonder if any of the brothers want to also contribute. Seems the sisters are leading the way today. Sisters two, brother zero at the moment. Yeah. No, I think her brothers are saying it's okay. Yeah, I think just the lessons that we've learned, I think all of us have learned them individually. If you think Christ died for you, I mean, he shed his blood to redeem you and I. So everything that he's going to do, it's going to be for your good. I mean, and might be hard, like the prophet losing his wife, losing his daughter, his father, his brother, all of them dying in a short space of time. I mean, to bring a man to a stage that a man can be a great blessing to an entire age, like Joseph in the prison and Joseph in Potiphar's house and all the squeezing and the molding and making him a prisoner like that. Yeah, what the Lord does in our lives, it's a mystery. But at the end of it all, none of us will ever look back and say, Lord, we'll all look back and say, Lord, you do all things well. That was the best thing that could have happened to me. You know what you're doing. But when we're going through it, like Paul said, no chastening is pleasant while you're going through it. But afterwards, when you look back and see the results that it's brought inside of your life, then you say, ah, that was very, very good. And those become very fruitful fields for you to help other people. You find somebody who's been through that, has was disobedient to the Lord and got chastened by the Lord and humbled themselves, and the Lord brings you back in line once again. I mean, that becomes such a fruitful area of your life to help other people with. Yeah, so just let's put our things into the hands of the Lord. Okay, who can pray for us there? Are you there, Brother Faithful? I can see your picture.
Yes, I'm here. God bless you, sir.
Would you pray for us, please, Brother Faithful, before we finish?
Oh,
Thank
sure, I would love to. Let us pray. Lord, we just want to say thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your mercies, Lord.
Amen.
And thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, we just want to say thank you for your servant that you've used, oh Lord, this evening to expound on this word, oh God, to us, Lord, and how you love, oh God, to be reconnected with us, oh Father. The mysteries of our lives, Lord. Oh God, we can all see that, Lord, you want fellowship, Lord. You want us to always be reconnected with you. You want us, oh God, to follow your word because your word has laid the blueprint for our lives, oh God, for us to be who you want us to be, Father, Lord.
Yes.
And Father, we thank you, Father, for the, oh God, the chastisement, Lord. We thank you for the correction. We even thank you, Father, for those trials, oh God, that you put along the way to re-navigate us, oh God, to help us, oh God, come back to you, Father, Lord. And Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray right now, Lord, committing everyone into your hands, Lord Jesus. If there be anyone, Lord God, right here that is going to listen to this, oh God, later on, or anyone that has listened to this, oh God, that is at that valley, oh God, oh Lord, where they are veering off on a wrong road, just like that man walking on the Jericho road, oh God, and he met thieves
Amen.
and robbers, oh God, and they beat him, oh God, terribly, Lord. But Father, Lord, you came along, oh God, on the Jericho road, and Lord, you picked him up, oh God, and you took him, oh God, to the innkeeper. You
Amen.
took him to the fivefold ministry, Lord, and you said, oh God, take good care of him, oh God.
Amen.
And when I come back, anything that is needed, I would, supply, Don't take any thought. Just, take good care of him, oh Father, Lord. If there be anyone, oh God, here, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that is at that point, oh God, where they have, oh God, faced, oh God, different chastening of the Lord, oh Lord. Father, Lord, I pray that you would grant them the grace, oh God, to understand the lesson, oh God, to gain the lesson, to understand what the Lord is trying to gain their attention towards, oh God, to understand the actions that they need to take, to understand the thing that they need to do at this junction in their life. Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would not only just leave them by understanding it, that you would also give them the grace, oh God, to carry out that action, oh God.
Amen.
Just like, oh God, oh Father, Lord, your servant, Lord, running away from preaching at Nineveh, but when you brought his attention back to Nineveh, Lord, the second time when you spoke to him, Lord, you gave him the grace and he was, oh God, willing to go to Nineveh and he preached in Nineveh. Oh God, and the whole city, oh God, gave their hearts to the Lord. Father,
Amen.
maybe there is a man here, oh God, in Dublin, oh God, that is going to take the message of Malachi 4, that will take the message of
Yes.
Jesus Christ and sweep it over to the coming of the Lord and preach, and the whole city
Amen.
will come under the unction of the Holy Spirit, Lord. But Father, such a one, Lord, is finding himself, oh God, ourselves, oh God, in valleys, oh God. Father, we pray that you will navigate such a one, oh God, by your help this day, that they would come under the unction and the power of the Holy Ghost, that they will come to understand, oh God, why they were made, oh God. Father, Lord, you would bring them, oh God, back. Oh Lord, is our humble prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we want the Spirit to flow, oh God, even in Dublin City and Lord, and around the world, Father, we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we also pray for restoration, oh God. You said you will restore all the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm has eaten, the caterpillar, oh God, the palmer worm. You said these are the great army that you sent among us, oh Father, Lord. Help us to understand the lesson. Help us to, oh God, as we understand the lesson, to take the action also. And Lord, please send the restoration, Lord, is our humble prayer. Thank you, Father, for your servant, Lord. May you replenish, oh God, the anointing, the power, oh God, the wisdom, oh God, Father, Lord Jesus, the grace, oh God. Send, oh God, your, oh God, help to your servant, Lord. Father, Lord, you know he has desire. May you meet him, oh God, at the point of his need. Lord, now bless your people as we go to rest, oh God, for the evening. We're praying, oh God, that you will be with us in the night watches, oh God, that these words that we've heard, oh God, will start ringing in our hearts. And Lord, Father, Lord God, the lessons that we need to draw would start coming to our hearts. Oh God, the actions we need to take, the empowerment to do it would start coming to our hearts. Oh God, and as we take those actions, Lord, may you command the blessing, oh God, for a restoration, oh God. Thank Amen. You, Father, for I pray all this, oh God, believing and trusting in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brad. God bless.
God bless you.
Saints, wishing you a wonderful night and a wonderful time until we meet Friday or Sunday or Wednesday. God bless, Saints.
Oh, I'm disappearing.